So earlier this year, YouTubers started quitting, retiring, and scaling back. This concept of retiring seemed like it was contagious.
I made the decision to
planning
quit.
To retire.
I have not been very happy.
I just don't have the manpower.
Don't want to do this anymore.
I am bringing them to an end.
It's not clickbait.
So I'm taking a break.
It was a lot.
And it seemed like everyone chimed in on this topic, except for us.
But we have been thinking very deeply about it. So today on the Colin and Samir Show, we're going to be talking about quitting. Are these actual retirements? What should we take from all of this? And what do creators need to know?
If you make it to the deep end, let us know.
Here's where I want to start.
Yeah.
All of these creators who are retiring.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with Tom Scott.
Ooh, okay.
Legendary creator. Mm-hmm. Also, we were nominated for a Streamy against him. He won. I'm over it.
Okay.
But Tom Scott, he made a great announcement video.
Yeah.
When it came out, it was called After 10 Years, It's Time to Stop Making Videos. The thumbnail said goodbye. Incredible video. He's on a helicopter. He's riding off into the distance. Mm-hmm. Here's the thumbnail today.
No way.
How incredible is that?
Is that real?
That's real. He's adjusted it.
You know what?
Goodbye, but probably not forever.
I gotta ask a question to Tom.
This man flew off into the sunset on a ladder attached to a helicopter.
The caveat is incredible there.
Yeah.
Wow. That's...
So we'll get into into this and why shouldn't listen to all these creators who are saying goodbye.
Do you think the dopamine just got to him of 10 million views on his retirement video?
I mean,
that
probably,
he was like,
yeah.
What am I going to stop this? This is so fun.
My last video was a 1 out of 10. Come on. I'm going to end on a 1 out of 10. I got to keep this train going.
So this is, I think this leads us into a great conversation around this, you know, mass exodus of YouTube we saw at the beginning of this year. And thinking about the context of like, why did this happen? Why did so many creators make announcement videos? Why did it feel contagious, this premise of retiring from YouTube? What does it actually mean? Are people actually retiring or, you know, what's going on?
Why is this even a conversation in the first place? Mm-hmm. Retirement, all types of industries, people retire. Why is this all of a sudden a moment that we all want to talk about? And for me, I wrote down this line. I wrote, most people don't retire from art. The industry retires them first.
Right.
Like the career of being a musician or a painter, it's something that you want so badly, like to make creativity a career. It's not stable. It's not promised. So there's never really a scenario where you would want to retire early. Mm. You want to be in it for as long as you can. You love it. It's your passion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You don't assume that like a musician or a painter would ever after maybe 10 years of being a painter would have to acknowledge publicly that they're retiring. This isn't like LeBron James.
But an athlete does.
Well, yes,
right?
Of course. And I think creators are more similar to athletes.
Yes. The difference is it'd be if LeBron James also was running the Lakers and he said, I'm going to retire from playing on the court. Mm-hmm. You have to say that because everyone's watching you do your craft. So I empathize and understand it. I just think that we as an industry have gotten to the point where we're on the court and owning the team and running the day-to-day operations of the team. And we've grown beyond just being the player on the court. Mm-hmm. But that's what the public knows us as. So like everyone knows MatPat as being the guy on camera. They don't know what MatPat does with his time outside of that. And so he does have to acknowledge when he stops doing the thing that the public knows him to do. I do think you have to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. Like, I do believe that. But I think these retirements for me made me take a step back and write out, like, what are the considerations of this career that make it such that you do retire from this version of yourself or you do feel like you have to say something? And the first thing that I wrote down was, you are not scalable. You have scale, but you are not scalable. I think that's super important for creators to recognize. Like the early days of being a creator, it's your individualism that's driving the momentum. And you like have this incredible like internal reward system that's like your creativity is being expressed, it's being rewarded, all of a sudden there's financial opportunity. And really quickly, we start to get into a land of opportunity. If you're good, all of a sudden you get this wide-ranging opportunity. And you hit a fork in the road. One is like, keep things simple. Do what you can as yourself. The other is scale. And we've approached this moment in the creator economy where the obvious answer there is scale. It's no longer like, oh yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm getting a lot of opportunities, but I'm just a guy in my room who makes cool videos and I'll slowly grow.
We're often afraid of missing out on opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who knew that we were going to even have the opportunity to make this a business? So when opportunities come and you're not prepared for it, it's like, I better scale, because that deal may never come back again. That opportunity may never come back again.
Yeah.
So I better hire some people to help me do this.
Right. And then as you start doing that, like I wrote this down, like simplicity is not a problem. It's a gift. And I think we look at simplicity as a problem in our early days as a creator. All I do is upload one video a week. Mm. That's a problem. I could be uploading three. I could launch a course business. I could launch merch, right? And all of a sudden, your simplicity of your business becomes a problem because of the opportunity.
And the simplicity of your life.
Right.
I mean, there were times for us in the beginning where it was just meet up every day. It's just you and I. We're not in an office. We had no overhead.
Yeah.
But it felt small. It felt like we had yet to make it. Like we were failing because our lifestyle was too simple.
Yeah.
So we wanted more. Like we wanted to build something around us.
Yeah. Yeah. So you identify this problem of simplicity and all of a sudden opportunities come. And then that creates this moment. And the second thing I wrote was the day you scale is the day you retire. Like I think these retirements that are being announced are not, they're like the public version of the retirement, but I actually think like the day you start really building your company, hiring people, taking on overhead is the day you retire from being a creator.
Mm, I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, let me explain. Like when you and I used to go meet up and sit next to each other and edit videos, to me, that was us being like true YouTube creators. You know, like we would make the videos together. We would do like, my days are so not that anymore.
I just don't believe that to be a creator in its truest sense, it requires you to be 100% attached to filming, editing, and uploading and being 100% involved in that process.
I think we've gotten better at this, but I think there was a time where the smallest portion of our days were creating in this business. And I think that's what I mean. It's like
I would agree with
that. The largest portion of the days is like meetings, driving revenue, team management. And that's what I mean. It's like you're as a creator, when you think about the job, you're like, oh, the job is making videos. But when you scale, your job is not making videos.
I disagree though that it means you've retired from being a creator.
But I think
I know what you mean. I think like potentially
you've
retired from that version of yourself, and you've started the process of moving away from what made you successful in the first place.
Yeah, I think you're still a creator, but you've added additional considerations and you've taken your focus away from that. And your mind can only, I think, handle so much in a day. And like, you know, we've talked about this at length, but like the micro decisions you make as a creator creatively are exhausting, right? When you're sitting in an edit and you're making creative decisions constantly, then you're faced with all of a sudden financial decisions, and financial decisions feel like they have more stakes than creative decisions. And I think your stakes all of a sudden get to shift where it's like, wait, this decision over here is going to require more of my focus because it has financial stakes to it. Mm-hmm. This decision over here has creative stakes and those are connected, but I might move my mind over to the financial stakes because that feels heavier to me. Mm-hmm. At least that was my experience of scaling. And it took a really long time to come back to like settling into putting more focus on being a creator, but it's still never going to be the same as when we first started. Mm-hmm. Like that version of me has retired. I could make an announcement video about that of like, hey, the guy over there, that guy's gone.
I think the moment that we scaled is the moment it started feeling like a job, for better or worse.
Yeah.
Even the first time we got our first office, which we eventually couldn't afford, we had for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Pressure was on. It was this is not, we're not just sitting together making these videos because hopefully it will do well and hopefully one day it'll turn into a business. It's like, we got to pay for this place.
Mm-hmm. But I actually think it's when you hire a team where things really change. It's not when you add like a studio or financial stakes. Like I think when you hire a team, things change, especially a small team. When you're a creator and you have a small team, this is a crazy sentence I'm about to say, but when we were sitting with JJ Abrams and talking to him in January, he was talking about how like every good project has a singular artistic voice. And I think that's a really important thing for creators to recognize, that scaling that artistic voice is really hard and it's your voice. And I do think that as you build a small team, it becomes like artistic vision by committee, or it can become artistic vision by committee. And when that happens, your singular voice can sometimes get removed, especially if you're required in other aspects of the business. And the creative that's going out has a different artistic voice. And I think that's actually more of a like thing that I would just push all creators to hedge against. It's either if you're going to scale, you're going to hire someone who can scale your artistic voice. So I would say Stevie with Rhett and Link is a like unbelievable example of this, right? They always credit that she understood their creative voice so well that she could apply it to all the things they were doing.
This final product that she just oversaw is almost exactly what we would have.
That's great.
It may be a little different, but it was just as good.
And it's very difficult to find those people that you can trust.
Sure.
Because if that wasn't the case, then we would have never let go. There's a lot of YouTubers that never let go.
But a lot of creators don't find that. And so then they're making stuff that maybe lacks their creative voice, and it's more of their employee's creative voice. And now you've built, that's like the opportunity in the creator economy. You built a media company, but you as the creative are not 100% represented as the artistic voice across all the projects. And I think that feels uncomfortable. I know for me, that has felt uncomfortable whenever that has happened.
Yeah, of course.
And that's what I mean by like, you retire from being that singular artistic voice.
Yeah, but I disagree that you retire from being a creator.
Sure.
I think you're still a creator, but yes, you have become a new version of yourself.
Yeah. I really can't overstate this enough, but one of my solutions is the right people and slow hiring. One person can change everything about your business, and that goes both ways. The wrong person can ruin your life. The right person, right? I mean, we've experienced that. The wrong person can occupy your mind at all times. And then all of a sudden you're no longer like focusing on creative work because you have this person that is just not working. The right person can unlock everything. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that is to slowly, slowly build trust. And I think we move a lot faster than we think because of the opportunities. Because you get an opportunity, you're like, how could I do that? I just need to hire someone. Yeah. I'll bring this person in. They'll help me make money doing this thing. And you know, you have to actually move a lot slower than that.
We move faster than the pace that trust builds.
Yes. Yeah. It's so important to move at the pace of trust. The other thing I wrote is that everything project-based at first, you know, that's in relation to hiring. Everything is project-based when it's hiring, and also everything is project-based for you. If you're starting a new format, don't say it's indefinite. Don't say don't commit to anything being like, I'm going to do this every Monday for the rest of my life. It's actually like, I'm going to do it every Monday for the next 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's project one. Because there's no start and end for anything in our business. You have to create your own starts and ends so that you give yourself permission to get out,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think that's one of the issues. We don't feel like we have permission to get out because of the audience and because of the expectations. And that then creates these like announcement videos where it's like, I just have to proclaim that I'm out, you know? Yeah. But mm-hmm. actually you could set that yourself and be like, this is a 6-month project or this is a 1-month project. I think that is really, really important is that everything in your world as a creative needs to be viewed as a project. Everything. Like this has a start and end. And if it doesn't end, no problem. You can renew your own project.
Yeah, if even just internally to start.
Even just internally, just be like, I'm going to experiment with this for 4 weeks. And then after 4 weeks, you're like, you know what? I want to keep the experiment going for another 4 weeks. But if you create those limited time windows, you always give yourself permission to leave the thing behind and go, that was great. That's done now.
It's a great solution. So you were saying you have a list of problems
mm-hmm.
that you feel like are creating
yeah.
these retirements.
Yeah. So I think that first one is like, you know, that opportunity overload with being like, I think I can scale, but you're actually incredibly unscalable. The other one is like the first version of yourself that started this is a risk taker, right? All of us are risk takers in that sense that we like put ourselves out there on the internet to be like, I don't know, maybe this idea is good and mm-hmm. has something. And I do think that once you find success and you do build a company, you go from being a risk taker to a risk manager. And you develop like a new reward system and a new relative zero, as we've called it before on the show, which is like, what's zero views? For some creators, that's 1 million views. For some creators, that's 100,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
But I think risk management is it's just not as fun. There's not as much dopamine involved in risk management where you're like thinking about an idea. And instead of pursuing an idea you like, you're going to pursue the idea that works. And I think that, you know, shift is a dramatic shift of going from I'm a creative who expresses ideas that come to me to I'm a you know, risk manager who's like, what do people want to see? And I think that that is another thing. These are all problems that I think everyone should just be aware of like, where am I on that spectrum of being a risk taker to a risk manager? And have I set myself up to be able to take some risks still? Because if that's just the type, that is the type of person you are if you started a YouTube channel. You like taking risks. So you have to have some of that. Like, you have to have some of the risk putting yourself out there on new experimental things. Otherwise, it's going to get a little mundane.
So these problems that come from being a YouTube creator, do you see them as an existential threat to the creator economy? Like, are they specific to YouTube and to creators?
No.
And that's why everyone's retiring / scaling back.
I think they're specific to creative individuals because creative individuals are like steeped in self-worth issues. And I think we find success to be the ultimate validation. And that success comes from like external validation, which is either money or other people, you know, saying your work is good. And that comes in the form of viewership, subscribers, and engagement. And so I think if we're just not aware of how we are building our reward system, we get really far away from what we thought the job was. You know, like the job initially that attracted me, and I think attracts a lot of creators, is this opportunity to like make really cool creative shit. And I think as you build a company, what ends up happening, the reason why creators are retiring is because you're like, I'm doing a job now that I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, this is now not the thing that I actually wanted to do. Now I'm running a company. Now I'm doing something that is completely different. And I think there's steps along the way that it's okay for us to zoom out and go, again, that like, the simplicity of this maybe is really, really great of uploading YouTube videos, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're the type of person who is your creative art is building a company, that's also something you can do. I think you just have to gauge where you lie on that spectrum. And I think the expectation is that we're all entrepreneurial media company CEOs. But when you slide over there and you're not that person, that's when you're going to retire, right? You're like, actually, wait, hold on. What just happened?
Personally, I don't see these retirements as a threat. I look at these retirements and these scaling back announcements more as, hey, have patience with me while I figure out a new version of myself. I think that's all these are.
Yeah, that's probably, that's true.
Have patience while I shift my creative identity or my life a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that has a mix to do with a couple things. Creator economy has been around for a while. Some of these people who are making these videos, like Matt Diavella, are having their first kid.
Yeah.
Matt, Pat, and Stephanie have children. Yeah. Like Tom Scott is older. Like these are people who are just coming of an age. Even PewDiePie, right? Like when PewDiePie had his first kid, he made a video and he scaled back. Like I think we're not even thinking about like the human part of this.
Right.
Like creators have just been in it for longer. The ones who can even think about retiring are the ones who are at an age where they're now like having families and their priorities have shifted.
Right.
So that's part of it. Another reason why I think this is happening is a shift in the ad market in a response to COVID. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at Epic Gardening. Kevin made a video on his second channel about YouTubers quitting. And there was an interesting comment from a creator called I Like to Make Stuff, who has 3 million plus subscribers. And this is what he said. I'm in the camp you're talking about, and the pivot over the last 6 months has been one of the best decisions of my adult life. I've been doing YouTube for about 10 years. I've built a team. I bought an office. And after COVID, the income started drying up. I struggled with it for a long time and was kind of in denial that a change was needed. We downsized the team and the video creation pace, and it was the best move I could make. I think that's a reality too, that a lot of creators during COVID hit this massive boom. New creators, as well as some of these more established creators. It was just like the age of excess. And so it was like build. There's more opportunity than ever.
Yeah.
And now that it's subsided and come back to perhaps normal levels for some people, it's like, that was exhausting.
I also
like
think
that growth was exhausting, and now I'm feeling it.
That was also fueled not only by COVID, but like the crypto boom.
It's been a while since we've talked about crypto on this channel.
I'm bringing it up because of that.
Wow, Bitcoin's back, the
audio only.
Crypto Samir is here.
No, I'm talking about it in the context of the audio only episode that we published about Marques Brownlee's Ridge deal.
Yeah,
and Sean Frank, the CEO of Ridge, I think makes a really good point that like during that era, also ad rates just went through the roof because of the FTXs of the world and the the crypto boom that entered the creator economy, and that then influenced everyone else's ad rate. So yeah, I think you're right. But that's what I mean, that like there's a simplicity to this where I think people sometimes forget you can do this job at a really high margin, and it doesn't mean you have to build. And you just get inundated and overloaded. And the reality is, for a lot of people, including us, we've been relatively successful for less time than we've been unsuccessful in our 12 years of being creators.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I would say 40% of the time we found success, if not 30%. And the other times, it's been really hard.
Yeah.
And I think when you're in that like small pocket, it feels really uncomfortable to say no to opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
With that, when a creator does make an announcement, I will say from an audience perspective, I don't think you should believe them.
Yeah.
I don't think you should.
Yeah.
Not saying you can't trust them, but I don't think there's ever a thing for creators like us who've been in this for as long as we have, who've been unsuccessful for the majority of our career and still choose to do it.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as like retiring.
But also, I don't think you should ever make a firm announcement that you're gone forever, because there's no reason, like no one's canceling us, like in terms of off the air, like no one's canceling our show. It's just like, hey, things are just going to be different. And even when we sat down with Jimmy recently, he was like, I think I'm going to bring gaming back. And it's like, oh, I thought you were done with Mr. Beast Gaming and Mr. Yeah. Beast Reacts. And he's like, no, I don't know. Those videos are fun to make.
Yeah.
And it's been like 2 years. And it's like, okay, sure. Yeah. If you want to bring it back, it's just sitting there. You can totally bring it back.
Even MatPat, who was the loudest goodbye internet. Yeah,
20 million views. That's got to be a big dopamine
20
rush.
Million views yeah. saying goodbye. And I don't think this is much of yeah. a surprise, but like, you know, when we spoke with him on the show, he said, I'm not going to be a 70-year-old still managing the same YouTube channel. And then he goes, but maybe. Like, yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. It's like, it could happen.
Yeah.
We don't know. Like, there's never been a creator in it for as long as, yeah. as they have. And, you know, there's a huge opportunity that he'll show up on YouTube again. Maybe it's a different yeah. channel. Like, it's just, it's never over, man.
We just need a better, like, culture of understanding what it means to take breaks on YouTube. Like, we just don't have that culture at all. One of the things I wrote was, you are plugged into the Matrix. And I imagine like in the movie, The Matrix, when they like sit in the chairs and they're like, yeah, like that is.
I'm plugged in right now.
You're plugged in, right? You're plugged in at all times. What I mean by that is like, there's never a time where you're not thinking about YouTube. I don't think since our first upload in 2011, that I have spent a week not thinking about the next upload. Like, can you think of a week where you were like, I'm not thinking about my next YouTube upload?
No.
There's no way.
Yeah.
So it's been, that's, you know, 13 years, 14 years or so. I don't know how many years, but probably 13 years. What's the math on that?
And even from the channel that we retired from, we're still in contact that's with everyone true. Over there giving thumbnail advice and notes.
Yeah. So plugged into the Matrix,
we're
man.
Plugged in, man.
It's also like everything in your life can kind of make you think of an opportunity. Right? Like, at least for me, I feel like when I'm at home, if I'm thinking at all times about what the next upload could be or what we could change or, you know, like you're just, that's being an entrepreneur, but there's something about the fact that not only are we always thinking about it, we always exist on the internet. So when we landed in Raleigh, North Carolina, went to a random taco shop and two people recognized us from our lacrosse channel, but they clearly had just started watching that from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So those videos exist in an evergreen nature where you could just now start watching those and that is who we are to you.
And they didn't know we did anything outside.
They didn't know that we did this. They had no idea. So to them, we were those guys from 10 years ago. So you just always exist and you're always plugged into the Matrix where you're just like, I exist in this digital world in many different forms. You know, and yeah. it's like you could find me in any different form. And so your identity is like ever present.
Yes.
It's a very strange thing. And so your mind and your body and everything is just kind of plugged into the digital space at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like one of the most exhausting things. It's also very fun, but yeah. it can be very exhausting.
Yeah. I feel like it's like we all are building these planes for ourselves that we're just learning how to operate.
Yeah.
And we don't know where they're going to land.
Right.
Right. So we're just like up there.
Yeah.
And we've got this plane and the plane is getting nicer. It's getting more interesting. More people are coming
yeah.
with you. But you're like, I still don't know exactly where this thing's going to land.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm in control of the turbulence.
I think I would urge, if you're having any of these feelings, to watch our interview with Jacob Collier, because he really pushes us and pushes this notion of like being much more curious with your creativity than having expectations. And I do think you have to like, release all of your expectations of where your creativity is going to take you. Because that can be really frustrating, right? I know from experience, it was really, really frustrating to be like, I think my creativity is supposed to take me here. But like in retrospect, it was just like, even now, it's like, we just have to be more curious to, well, where is this now going to take us? And in order to be curious, you do have to build in a very specific way. You have to move a lot slower. Because if you build a lot of stuff, then it's not just the expectation, your own emotional expectation of where you're supposed to be going. It's now also like, you know, revenue expectations, or if you take investment, it's investor expectations or employee expectations. And there's all these expectations on your creativity. But creativity is so open-ended that if I'm to give advice on this, like, and you are the type of person who is starting to feel constricted by the job, it's to like, this retirement is really just like scale back. It's what, like Diavela did what? He like reduced his editing staff, right? And reduced all of his team down back to him.
And so far this year, he's on pace to make the same amount of videos as last year.
Yeah,
he's fine. And they're doing just as well.
Yeah, and he's fine. He can do it. Again, it's like come back to just being the video creator. Like you have to be really confident that the format you're making, if everything went away, if your office went away, all your employees went away, you could still make it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're stuck. You know, and I think that can feel really, really overwhelming in a space where you actually need to be really curious as to where everything's going to go.
Yeah, I would say you want to make sure that your format, as well as the conversation you're having, can continue.
Yeah.
If everything got taken away. Because even you and I, let's say everything's taken away. We don't have this studio. We actually don't have the best place to record a podcast. We could still go back to the car.
Yeah, of course.
And have the same conversation.
Yeah, it'd be great.
In a slightly different way.
Yeah, it'd be super fun.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it'd be a great time. I mean, we even did a weird, do you remember when we did plogging? Oh, by the way, we did that before the Try Guys, just so everyone knows.
Wow, that's a deep end, shots fired.
Yeah, we're in the deep end, and I think everyone needs to know that.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs to know that.
If you're with us right now.
I think I like—
Stay afloat, put your floaties on.
Yeah, I like pulled actual clips of us. What that was just you and I like walking around Venice one day with lavs on.
So plogging, for those who are unaware, was originally started by Colin and Samir and is a audio vlog. It's a podcast vlog. It's a plog.
It's a plog.
And when we sat down with the Try Guys, they kind of said that they started the plog.
Yeah, they didn't start the plog.
But they didn't just start the plog. We got receipts.
We'll
send them the episode.
Yeah, we got receipts. I don't know why I brought that up. Oh, I was just saying we could plog. We don't even need a studio.
Oh.
Yeah, you just plog.
I thought we were just trying to start a battle with the Try Guys.
I mean, I'll start that battle.
Yeah, I'm not afraid.
But yeah, that's like the very important thing is like, I think the question that we should probably ask is like, are we considering retiring? What does that even mean to us?
Not anytime soon. Like, I think this thing just started for us. I mean, it did not because we've been working for many years, but like you said, there was so much failure and so much hard work to even get us to the starting line.
I have no intention of making definitive statements ever like that because I'm more curious about where it just goes. And I don't have to. Like, we own the channel. It's ours. If it goes down for a year because we're working on a different project, we're not retiring. We can come back to it. I think it was Ty Verdes, Deep Cut, long time ago when we talked to him on our show. He described like creative identities as jackets in a closet. And he was like, you can put on the jacket, and if you take it off, you're not burning it. You're not like throwing it on the ground, putting gas on it and burning it. You just put it back in the closet. And if you ever want to come back to it, it's hanging in your closet. That's your creative identity. And I think that's so accurate. Like, if we even what we just did on our second channel, like Creator Sports, gone, right? But it's actually just hanging up in the closet. If we ever want to come back to that format, we just pick up the jacket and put it back on.
That's a great analogy.
And I think that's what's actually happening, is what people are saying is like, hey, I'm hanging this creative identity up in the closet, and maybe I'll bring it back.
Tom Scott's about to put that jacket back on.
Yeah, Tom Scott might buy like a luxury jacket on his 10 million views from his retirement.
My only request for Tom is that when he makes his next video, he comes back on a helicopter on that same rope.
Funny. Yeah, that'd be really funny.
And lands and starts.
Yeah, or it just picks up there. And he's still on the helicopter and he turns to the camera and he's like, gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
That would be good.
And like the Wolf of Wall Street scene. He's like, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. We're definitely not I don't see a world where we're retiring. I think we will just constantly evolve and change. And sometimes we'll do the thing that you know us to do. Sometimes we'll change that.
I'm going to ride this thing for as long as it goes, man.
Yeah, I do want to conclude. I have a lot of thoughts about the career of being a creator and a lot of like the problems and what I think to be the solutions for that. But it's not to say that this is a not a fun career. It's the most fun career I haven't had another one. I think this is like the most fun I could imagine. But it can get tough sometimes. And a lot of that, those times are just because I didn't expect it. And I think that's like why I always want to talk about this stuff is so that other creators can expect these things and then can take a step back and go, what do I do when I arrive at that moment? All right. With that, I did want to say, this is officially the last video on Colin and Samir. We'll be retiring until next Monday. We'll see you then.